cube utilization, as you can see, here we can see that it is ground plus 3 level of storage. In the first case, you see there are 4 level of storage, so ground plus 4. And accessibility is that you have this kind of aisles between the racks where the forklift trucks or the reach truck can move very easily, turn around, handle the material without any damage, and do it safely. I will not go into much detail here. These are some examples given of how the racking systems are designed and how you can store the pallets. Like for example, in this case, they have shown that there are racks on both the sides. There is an aisle in the middle for movement and the kind of a storage facility that you can create. Now, in this particular case, they have shown the storage capacity. I'll go to the next slide. And they have shown that the storage capacity is 3 levels, correct? And 120 pallets can be stored. Let me tell you, currently we are operating with warehouses where the level is up to 6 level. That means ground plus 5 level is what we have seen. Maybe in future, the number of levels may go up further. With the better racking system, stronger racking system, etc. Accessibility, so we have already seen that there are aisles, etc. And what is to be avoided is this kind of storage, you know, where in a corner, if you have to remove the material, you may have to move multiple pallets to access the material. So generally, the warehouses are designed in such a way that material is easily accessible from one side. Stock location. So group functionally similar items together. Functionally similar means, let us say that there are paints, they will be all stored in one place, or fasteners will be stored in another place, or let us say solvents are there in drums or cans, etc. They will be stored together. Heavy materials, they will be stored, like I said, on the lower rungs so that, you know, they don't overload the racking system. Group items by movement. So here, materials which are fast moving, the A-class items, they will be stored closer to the entry and the exit point so that you don't have to move these products much. But the C-class items will be stored behind because the movement of these goods will be far less. Same is the case for spares, etc. Spares, etc. will be kept far away because the movement of these products will be much lesser as compared to raw materials and especially the A and B class material. Group items by their physical characteristics. So like we said, that solvents, paints, certain raw materials which are coming in bags. So all these will be stored depending upon the nature. If there are materials which are temperature sensitive, they will be stored separately in a cooler area or under controlled temperature conditions. Especially in pharmaceutical industry, etc., certain products, the APIs, need to be stored at low temperatures. Also, if there are inflammable material, then they have to be kept in special area where there is firefighting equipment, sprinkler systems. Generally, sprinkler system is a requirement in all the warehouses. So even where you are not storing inflammable material, the sprinkler systems are installed. But there are special provisions given whenever you are storing inflammable or this kind of material. Group working stocks and safety stock. So safety stocks sometimes may be stored elsewhere, and the working stocks will be placed closer to the docking stations, etc., where the loading and unloading happens. So group functionality of similar items. So we said hardware, all hardwares together, all paints together, castings together. This is just an example. Grouping items by movement. So all fast moving items kept close to the entry and exit points, which is what we considered. All slow moving items kept away from the entry and exit point because they may be required to be moved once in a while, so they can maybe require a bigger movement, but it's going to be less frequent. Grouping items by their physical characteristics. So packaged items which are on the shelves, frozen foods and meat in the freezer or in the cold chain, hazardous material under lock and key, hazardous material, or even there could be some products which are narcotic in such, nature. So these have to be kept under very high security. Fragile materials in lockers. Fragile materials means glassware, etc. So these have to be stored in such a way that there is no damage. Drums on special racks which need different facilities and handling equipment. So this is based on the physical characteristics. Group working stock and safety stock. So working stock of say a week's requirement located close to the entry point. Material handled in a recurring manner is kept in proximate area near. So again, we are talking of the same thing. Weekly handled items are kept over a distance from the entry point. So which are not frequently handled, you handle only once in a while. Major quantities of reserve stocks are placed away from the entry point. So reserve stocks, etc., may not be near the entry exit point, can be slightly further away. Group fixed floating and point of use centralized location. So here, fixed location for each SKU. You are earmarking a certain area for each SKU as to avoid any mixing or error in receipt or issue. So stock keeping units has its own permanent location. Floating location, SKU stored where the most appropriate space is available. So sometimes when space is not available, the WMS system will assign it to wherever the space is available within the warehouse. Point of use location, so SKU is stored close to where it is processed. So suppose the warehouse, one portion or one exit of the warehouse is close to the manufacturing plant. So then it will be stored close to the plant exit or the plant entry point. Centralized location, all inventory at one central location. So in some cases, you have this kind of a centralized location where entire inventory may be kept in one single location. Order picking and assembly. So area operations. Order picker moves over entire storage area and fills the orders. So it is actually not fills the order, it fulfills the order like you do when you are in a departmental store. So in a departmental store, you take a trolley, you keep on putting the material. The picker does a similar thing. He has the delivery order sheet which contains all the picking information, which are the products, which are the batch numbers. So he goes around and the location, and he will pick the material based on the quantity which is to be invoiced or what is to be shipped out. And then when all the orders are picked, then materials are moved to the dispatch area for assembling, packing and preparing for dispatch. That means you invoice the material. As we mentioned earlier, some special labels need to be put on the material. They will affix those labels which are specific for the customer in terms of the name of the customer, the transporter through whom the material is to be booked, against which order, which delivery order this material is being moved. So all this information will be contained on that. Zone operation. The warehouse is divided into zones on the line of groups discussed earlier. So we saw the various grouping, based on the physical nature, based on the category of the products, etc. The order is picked in one zone by a person familiar with that zone and passed on to the next zone, where another person familiar with that zone continues picking. So when the order is fully picked up, materials are moved to the dispatch area. So this is another form of picking where there are different people responsible for different zones, and the people who are specialized in a particular zone will do the picking in that zone only. So it is not one person who will do the picking in all the zones, but individual zone responsibles will do picking in that area. Maybe because they are more familiar with where the materials are kept, and they will be able to do a better job. Multi-order operations. So instead of a single order, a group of order is taken up for picking. Picker of each zone picks material as per the list. When the orders are fully picked up, materials are moved to the dispatch area. Wave picking is an application of short interval scheduling to assign orders into grouping or waves and release them together so as to allow management to coordinate the several parallel and sequential activities required to complete the work. I'll put it in very simple words. So in wave picking, one person responsible for the zone will pick up orders for, let's say, 10 different orders. And then they will bring it to the dispatch area for assigning to individual orders. So let us say that there is somebody who is responsible for, let's say, the paints. Then he will pick up all the paints. He will pick paints for all the orders and bring it to the dispatch area and assign it to the different orders. So the consolidation of different orders will happen in the dispatch area. Instead of one person trying to consolidate against a single order, you will have multiple people doing the picking in their respective areas, and that is what is called as the wave picking. Packaging. So packaging must identify the product. The packaging must contain and protect the content, the product from multiple hazards. So we know packaging is supposed to tell us what is the product. Some places it is also a form of advertising, because if you're keeping a packaging in a store, then it is supposed to attract the people and entice them to buy the product. At the same time, it protects the product. So the product doesn't suffer any damage. So apart from aesthetics, the other major, like for example, if you're buying any white goods or you're buying, let's say, a toaster. Now, during transport, etc., the toaster can get damaged. So if you have a packaging with a proper cushioning inside, you can ensure that the material will reach the customer in good condition. So first level packaging, it holds the product. So example given is the tube of a toothpaste. So you have a toothpaste outer cover, cardboard cover, beautifully printed. So it protects the tube. The second level of packaging is bringing all the above packaging to a container or a corrugated box. So you will find a corrugated box which may, let's say, carry 100 toothpastes. So this actually becomes a larger unit for transporting and handling of the toothpaste. Third level of packaging, keep all the above packages into a shipping load for transport and distribution. So it can be that it is stuffed into a container or some such thing, which becomes the third form of packaging. Or let us say it is palletized. You put it on a pallet, you stretch wrap it, you also put nylon straps on it. So that becomes the third level of packaging. Clearly label designated hazardous zone. So in the warehouse, you clearly need to identify areas. For example, here it says danger controlled access zone. So there are certain areas where only authorized people can enter. Let us say you are keeping inflammable solvents, etc. So in such areas, even the light fittings, etc., has to be flame proof. And people who go there, maybe they will have to wear clothes which are anti-static, etc. So all these kind of signs need to be clearly displayed, and appropriate precautions have to be built into the warehouse. Ensure safety equipment is used at all times. So when you are handling, and this is true for whether you are working on the shop floor or you're, working in the warehouse, you are required to use safety shoes, helmets. So in case something falls from a rack or so, you are protected. If there is, risk of any chemical being spilled, any solvent being spilled, and the fumes getting inhaled, then you may also need to use certain kind of a mask, etc. Or if there is a high sound level, then you may have to use earmuffs. So all these labels have to be, not labels, the posters or signs have to be put up, and you need to ensure availability of the personal protective equipment and ensure that people are following it so that any untoward incident can be avoided. The next thing is the label on the material. Now, generally, whenever there is any hazardous material, you are supposed to furnish the MSDS, the Material Safety Data Sheet. The Material Safety Data Sheet, as per the new European regulation, there are about 18 points which covers everything from the chemical nature of the material, physical nature of the material, any harm which can come from the material, any restrictions regarding transportation, handling of the material, if it's a toxic substance, etc., what are the toxicity levels, how the person has to be treated if he's inhaled or ingested this material. And plus, you also have these HAZ label. So they are called as the hazard label, where it will show you what are the hazards that this material poses. There are signs which tells you whether it's a radioactive material, it's a biohazard, or whether it's a toxic material, it's a poison. So all these signs, the labels have to be available. MSDS has to be available with the warehouse. In some cases, the MSDS has to accompany the documents which are being shipped to the customer. So along with the invoice, the packing list, you also need to attach the MSDS in case of hazardous material or dangerous goods. Physical distribution systems. So general and distribution warehouses. So for distribution of products to the ultimate customer, a business unit utilizes plant or factory warehouses, regional warehouses and local warehouses. So there are various kind of warehouse. You have the plant warehouse where the manufacturing activity happens, which you call it as a factory warehouse or a manufacturing warehouse. And then you have the regional warehouse, which may be there across the geographies, which in turn then supply material to local warehouses or retailers. So they are owned and operated by a supplier or a wholesaler. So in some cases, these are third-party warehouses. So owned and operated by supplier or a wholesaler, or they could be public warehouses. The public warehouses offer general services to all by providing storage space and warehouse services where a business unit can hold material for a given period. So, you can have third-party warehouses where you can store your material. That means they are neither your distributor nor they are your wholesaler. They are a third party and you can store the material there for a fee. So you have to enter into a lease contract. You lease out a certain space and you can store the material in the warehouse. So general and distribution warehouses, warehouse service functions are of two types. So you have the general warehouse. It is used by business unit to store goods for fairly long time to protect goods against hazards until they are needed for use. These could be the warehouse even where your raw materials are stored or intermediates which you are purchasing, they could be stored. And they need not be in your premises. They could be third-party warehouses where you are augmenting your own warehouse capacity. So when you have brought the material which you don't have space for, they can be accommodated in this kind of a general warehouse. The distribution warehouses are mainly for the outgoing material, that means for the finished goods. So goods are received in uniform lots, goods are received in large volumes, goods are stored briefly, because see, finished goods, your entire purpose is to see that they quickly reach the market and they quickly reach the customer. So here the intention is not to store the goods for prolonged period of time. Goods are then broken down into small orders of various items received from different customers. So what happens is, especially in case of FMCG customers, let us say from the manufacturing side, material is going into cartons. And each carton contains, let's say, 100 toothpastes. But when these are being delivered to the retailers, there could be big retailers, there could be small retailers. Now, if there are supermarkets or departmental store, they may be in a position to buy the entire carton of 100 toothpaste. But the smaller retailers will not be able to accept such huge quantity. So there, in such cases, the goods will be broken down into small orders and delivered in part quantities. So there are various examples given here. Now, when you look at the inward movement, there could be multiple suppliers, multiple small suppliers. So you are shipping material from, let's say, three different suppliers, and these are coming in small shipments, or they're coming in less than truckload. They come to your central warehouse or your general warehouse, you know, which is a third-party warehouse. And from there, you consolidate the items, and it is then transported in large shipments or in full truckloads. So they come to the factory based on the need. So as the factory needs the material, they call for the material from this warehouse. So especially when you have a factory or so, which is located in a area close to the city, etc., where space is not available, you are holding material in an external warehouse, and from there you call off the material as it is required for the manufacturing. Coming to the dispatch side, that means the finished product. So you have three factories, you are shipping material in large shipment or full truckload from factory to the warehouse. And from here, it goes to the market in small shipments or less than truckload. This model is typical of the FMCG. So in FMCG, you find that a company is producing toothpaste, soaps, maybe shampoo, various other things. And all these are coming from different locations. So they go to the warehouse of the distributor, where they do the segregation. And from there, they will distribute it either to the retailer or to the next line of, I wouldn't say wholesaler, but the distributors, city distributors. So this could be a regional warehouse, and then they could distribute it to the local warehouses in the individual city. From there, it will be distributed to the retailers. So product mixing, it's the same thing. You have different products coming from different factories. At the distribution center, they consolidate, and then they will ship it out to different clients. So here the clients could be things like departmental stores, supermarkets, etc. So they will distribute the material which is coming from multiple sites depending upon the requirement. Transportation cost. Highest service level at the lowest cost depends upon number of customers. So if you have very high number of customers, you are required to make multiple deliveries. If you have less number of customers, the complexity is much less. So transportation cost will also depend upon number of customers. And here, in the example that we saw, the number of places where the delivery has to be made from the warehouse, basically they are the customers. So the trick is to keep the number of customers down to a manageable level. Geographic spread of the customers. The more the spread, higher will be the transportation cost. Lesser the spread, you can optimize your transportation. Customer order size. Bigger the customer order size, lower the transportation cost. Smaller the customer order size, you will have to make smaller deliveries to large number of customers, which means that your efficiency will be less, time required to deliver the material will be more. Number and location of plants and distribution centers. So more the number of plants, more the number of distribution center, higher will be the complexity, higher will be the cost. Less number of plant, less number of distribution centers, lower will be the complexity and lower will be the cost. So with that, we come to the end of the chapter. Thank you.